You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
We are recording.
Hello and welcome to Driving the Car, a documentary road trip. You're listening to episode whatever. Well, I guess this is the first episode ever of Driving the Car, a documentary road trip.
Or episode 202 of Building the Game Podcast.
You're going to be picky. My name's Rob. That's Jason.
Hey.
We're driving to Unpub.
Driving Unpub.
Yeah. We're about 120 miles out from Baltimore right now. Getting close to crossing over the border from Pennsylvania and Maryland. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It is... 1:22 in the afternoon. We've been driving since about 5 a.m.
A little under 2 hours left to drive, I think, is what we're looking at.
Yes. Good times.
Yeah, so going to Unpub. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. We are, we're excited to go. It looks like people are there. Things are in full swing with the designer day. People listening to panels and playing some games and such.
Yeah, it's funny. Last year, we came the day before, and we're there all day for Designer Day. But Designer Day was actually kind of a half day, and the morning was just setting up.
Yeah.
And so we felt like, we can skip the morning this time, and we'll just drive down. But now there's a bunch of cool stuff happening in the morning. So, oops. We'll see. I'm sure... Well, the important thing, of course, is tomorrow and Sunday, when people come in and play games, and we get all the testing done, so...
Indeed.
Yeah, and then you said there's some kind of a special session or special announcement tonight?
Yeah, some sort of special announcement tonight at 4:30 or something like that, so we should be there for that, so that's good.
Yeah.
Hear what that is, and then it's open gaming all night, so that's really nice. They've got the hall open late till midnight, which I know for some of the gamers we know is not that late, but for Rob and I, that's probably late enough.
After getting up early and we gotta... be kind of, you gotta be on, right? You gotta be ready to put on a show all day the next 2 days.
Well, I don't. You do.
Well, so. I do, yeah. It's true.
I don't have, my table is Saturday PM, Sunday AM.
Okay.
So, I like that. That would have been my absolute first choice, I think, for a tag table, simply because I'm hoping, and we'll see how this pans out when I do you our recap episode, but I'm hoping that I can chat up some publishers Saturday AM because everybody else would be running their tables.
Yeah.
And then Sunday PM would be a nice time to just kind of decompress a little bit. So this is an audio podcast, unfortunately. We have some spectacular views here right now as we're driving through the Appalachian Mountains a little bit. Yeah. So
yeah, some nice views.
Yeah. So I'm just looking down at these valleys from this high points we're driving at, and it is nice looking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good podcasting.
Always good to describe visual things happening that the listeners can't see.
Right. So what else we got going on? Well, so I just picked up the new Star Wars movie on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Hadn't had a chance to rewatch it, but watched about half of the special features. Pretty good so far. And the Rogue One trailer came out this week.
It did.
That was pretty sweet.
That looks really good. It looks like they really did a good job of capturing the original trilogy with that. The look is very, very similar.
Yeah. Sadly, we already talked about this in the first 4 hours of the trip, so...
Yeah,
we've been through it all. I'm sorry.
Not a lot to say, other than it looks really
looks
cool.
Great. Yeah,
that's exciting
great.
Stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you should check it out if you haven't watched it, but, I mean... Who are we kidding? Most of you guys have probably already seen it, so... Yeah. So the good news, Rob, is we filled 4 minutes of time here, so we only have, like, an hour, 56 minutes left to fill.
Okay, let me tell a story.
Rob's going to tell a story.
Okay. So, about a week ago, exactly a week ago, we met some friends to go have a drink and to do a playtest of Galactus Crappers, kind of my last test before I finalized my prototype to get ready to bring here. And so we were playing, it was a good time. And it was another couple. He is a bit more of a gamer than she was. But it went very well. They were very positive and good feedback, and it was a good time. And then we played a few other games. We played Parade, and we played Love Letter. It was fun. And then we got to chatting just about gaming in general. And I think somehow the subject of D&D came up. And they both said that they were curious about it, but they don't really know. They didn't know what to think about it or what to expect from it, having never played it or never really spoken with anybody who played it before. And they were just curious. And they just heard a lot of kind of bad stuff about LARPing, you know? which those people are out there that kind of make it unpleasant. But LARPing in and of itself is not a bad thing. And it has an unfair stigma on it. Anyway. And they were surprised to hear that both Christine and I were fans of D&D. And they didn't understand why. So I was struggling to explain to them what D&D is like. Because it can be kind of a difficult thing to convey to people who've never done it before.
Right.
You know? And then, you roll some dice, and then you talk, and sometimes you hit, and sometimes you don't. And, well, that doesn't make any sense. So I had my bag with me, and like most people like me, I always have a couple of pens and some dice with me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had our BTG dice, actually.
Nice.
And I said, well, let's play some D&D right now. And they laughed at me, and I said, no, I'm serious, we're going to play D&D right now. And I pulled out a piece of paper and a pen and some dice and a couple of pieces of paper. On one, I drew a square grid, and on the other one, I wrote some stats, just a quick, attack, magic, and defense stats on right there, just some simple numbers, one for Christine and one for each of the two friends that we were with. And then I drew some marks on the grid, and I said, okay, you guys, you're here, you're here, you're here. Here are three monsters that are going to try and attack you. And you can, on your turn, you can either attack them with your physical attack, you can cast a magic spell, or you can choose to defend. And if you successfully defend, then they can't do any damage to you next time.
Okay.
And you all have 5 hit points, so if you get hit 5 times, you're dead. And they were very kind of confused. Okay, I guess so. And I said, roll for initiative. And they didn't know what that was. So I explained, the person who rolls highest goes first. And, of course, I was the DM, and I was rolling for the monsters. And I rolled the highest number. And so the monsters all went first and attacked them. And they didn't like that very much. And then I gave them all a round. And so Christine just attacked with a physical attack. And then the gentleman from the couple did a physical attack, and then his girlfriend said, I want to cast a magic spell. I said, okay, great. So you have a really high number there with your number you have there, it's difficult for you to cast a spell. So I need you to cast the spell for me and tell me what that spell does, and then I might give you a modifier to your roll to make it easier for you to do that. And she was very confused.
Way to weird people out, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was just going for it, right? And I said, I don't care what you say. Okay, so first of all, tell me what magic thing you're going to do. She said, okay, well, I'm going to zoom up in the air. I'm going to fly over these people. I'm going to shoot a fireball at them. I said, okay, great.
Whoa, so that was pretty descriptive.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I was like, okay, great, perfect. Okay, that's hard to do. That's hard to do because not only are you flying and moving, you're also casting a magic spell. You're
right.
Going to shoot fire at them. And you're going to fly over 3 targets, and you're going to try and hit all 3 targets. That's tough. Okay. So you're going to have to really give me a good incantation for this to... Do you have any chance of succeeding at this? And she laughed and then felt really awkward, and then she said some silly words and ended with shaboom! And I gave her like a +2 or something.
Uh-huh.
Because she went for it, you know. And that's cool. And then she rolled and she failed miserably. And I said, okay, well, now you have to roll to save. Roll to save, yeah. Saving throw. Okay, you just gotta roll higher than a 3. So 4, 5, or 6 on that die. And she made it. And so she landed, she didn't take any damage, which you did. Okay, great. And then the monster... Oh, and then after that, the door flies open and the Monster King comes out and says, "Ah, who dares disturb my dungeon, blah, blah, blah." And nobody answered. And I said, and then, you know, as the Monster King, "Ah, answer me." And they started kind of getting to it a little bit. And they was clicking for them, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we did another round of combat, and then I just called it there, because then the map was getting messy because we were moving around.
Right.
You know, whatever. And it was super fun. It was super fun. And so, and I was able to say, okay, see, that's what D&D can be. D&D, the kind of D&D that I enjoy is rolling some dice and moving your pieces around and silly voices and just having a good time. That's how I like to play D&D, you know? And some people take it way more seriously than that, but you don't have to. You don't have to. And you just want to make sure that you play it with a group that shares your play style, and then it can be super, super fun. And they enjoyed that a lot.
That's cool.
Yeah. So after that, I was thinking, like, you know, why does D&D have to be so complicated? Why do we need complicated character sheets? And why do we need all these different powers and things? Why can't it just be that simple? Why can't it be just some kind of thing that I can have a couple of stats and then say what I'm going to do and then roll to see if I do it or not?
Well, you could totally do that. It's just that's not how most people... That's not how D&D works.
Well, yeah.
You could have a role-playing game and that's how it works.
Well, so that's what I started thinking about. Thinking, you know, maybe I don't really want to play D&D. Also, I'm still frustrated about the change to 5th edition because I liked 4th ed. I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't, but I liked it. And I'm not saying that I'm resistant to change, but what I am resistant to is buying all those new source books again.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
Pisses me off. Don't make me go out and buy, you know, 6 new books to play your game again. And D&D with 4th edition became a thing that you need the online character creator in order to create a character.
Right.
When they went to 5th edition... It's like, well, you know, now I can only make 5th edition characters. And I don't know, I'm assuming. I never actually went back and checked once they rolled over, but it's...
I get you, though.
It was frustrating. And so I started thinking, man, there's got to be a role-playing system out there that is just simple like that. I have to assume that there is.
I'm sure some indie game is like that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I could try and create that. That's kind of a thing that we do, right?
Yeah.
But... We talked about it before, that for some reason coming up with a role-playing system is kind of a daunting task to me.
Well, because it is a daunting task. Though if it was as simple as you just described, I mean...
Yeah. Because that's the kind of role-playing that I like.
Right.
I like silly interaction with people. I like saying what I'm going to do and rolling a die to see if I succeed or not.
You like improv with loose rules, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I like. That's the kind of role-playing that I like. And I love the D&D setting, and I love using all the minis. The minis are awesome.
Yeah, the minis are awesome.
And I like the board game nature of the miniature placement. You know, I like the board game. I like having pieces there. I like things like flanking, you know?
Yeah.
And attacks of opportunity.
Yeah.
I like all that stuff.
I do, too.
But it gets a pain in the butt when you get bogged down in all kinds of just more complicated excuse me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That was just something that I've been thinking about over the last week.
That is a good story. Cool story, bro. No, that's a good story.
So you don't have any input on that?
Yeah, I mean, I like when there's stricter rules. That is actually more fun for me.
Is it? Okay.
But I like when the stricter rules aren't too strict.
Yeah.
Like, there were lots of things I ignored in D&D because they were just too much of a pain to deal
sure.
with. Things like, you know, for a long time, there were things like, you had to have, like, certain things to cast spells, like, ingredients and stuff.
Yeah,
and I was
that
is stupid.
No. Nope.
Like, why make it so hard to cast spells? Like, let's...
I don't
want to
do that. That's boring.
So, yeah. So, we always cut that kind of stuff out.
Yeah.
We had this one friend that would always be like, "Oh, don't forget to use magical components." And I was like, "I can't come this week. Sorry." So,
Yeah.
So, on the topic of Unpub...
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
So, Unpub, what are you hoping to get? What are you hoping slash expect to get out of Unpub?
Okay. Those are two very different answers for me.
I know. That's why that's why I did that.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to sell Galactic Scrappers to a publisher.
Right.
I mean, duh, right?
Yeah.
If I wasn't hoping for that, then why on earth am I even going? My expectation is to put the final polish on it to call it done so that I can start pitching it. Hey, welcome to Maryland. All right. So that I can hopefully start to pitch to publishers at Origins. I feel really good about it. It came together super fast, and I'm very pleased with what it looks like right now. I'm going to change lanes here.
Yeah, you got a little lucky with that, right?
I did, yeah.
Because it was pretty late in the game when you decided to change over to that game. And, yeah. So that was, you were very fortunate that it turns out that that idea was a good one. Because as most designers know, most of the ideas that you have they don't end up being games that you keep working on for a long time.
Yeah, in
general, as a designer.
Sure.
That's, you have more misses than hits, I would say, as designers.
Yeah.
We do.
Right. So my expectation, so like I said, I feel really good about where it is right now. I think it's something that a publisher could pick up right away.
And just do a little bit of development on.
But, yeah, you know, and put their little flavor of polish on it. This is stopping quickly. But my expectation is that I will get feedback from players, from testers, to put my own final polish on it, so that I can feel really good about it going to Origins.
Yep.
So that is my hope, and that is my expectation.
I think that those are good hopes and expectations.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Well, they're not dissimilar to that. I really do hope that I can show off my game to some publishers. There's two that I'm already going to meet with,
mm-hmm.
one of which especially I'm really excited about. I think that they could be a really good fit. The other one I think would be a good fit as well. The one I'm particularly excited about.
And you're talking about the Minecart Madness?
Yeah, sorry, Minecart Madness. So I am going to be showing that off and trying to pitch the crap out of that. And I hope that it is received really well, and that somebody at least considers signing it to, you know, maybe that way I could sure something up at Origins with it.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that I will get good feedback. I expect that the response to the game will be very positive, and I only say that because I've played the game a lot of times, and it's always been very positive. I mean, from the day that game started, the response has been very positive.
Yeah.
And it's only gotten way better from where it started.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel really good about it. I'm really happy with the prototype I have. I'm really happy with how the prototype looks.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just I think it's such an easy game to teach that people just get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my hopes versus expectations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we decided to do for Unpub that you thought of, and I can't remember if we talked about this on the show, so let's just throw it out there.
Okay.
You had the idea of getting stickers,
yeah,
for people. So stickers that would say, like, yours say, I got scrapped.
I've got two different ones,
yeah.
So anybody who plays Scrappers, if they lose, they're going to get a sticker that says, I got scrapped, and then it has the Galactic Scrappers logo on it. And then the winner will get one that says, I'm a Scrapper, and
right.
It has the logo.
Cool. And I went with just one that says Minecart Madness on it, just to be a little simpler.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is those match the logos of our games and our booths. So hopefully people will see people wearing the stickers and ask about the game and then come back and play it. So that's the hope. Who knows if that's what will actually happen, but the stickers were pretty cheap.
Super cheap.
So
yeah, that was a no-brainer.
It wasn't really a hard decision.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I think that'll be cool about that. You know, also with Unpub, I'm really honestly, one of the things I'm most excited about is just seeing people. I'm a little antsy because I keep seeing on Twitter how many people who are, you know, friends of ours are there already. So
yeah,
it'll be exciting to see all those friends there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm pretty geeked about that.
traffic has definitely picked up once we've gotten into Maryland.
Yes, Maryland is for traffic.
Yeah.
There is a lot of traffic in Maryland, which sucks because no traffic made it easier to drive faster. Yeah. Not that we were breaking the laws, because Rob is a very safe driver.
A very good driver, of course.
But we are making still decent time, so let's go to the computer in my hand here, and let's see how far we have to go. In case you're wondering, how much longer we have to drive to get to Baltimore,
to our hotel in Baltimore.
Yes, to our hotel in Baltimore.
I'm gonna say it's gonna say an hour and 36 minutes.
All right, let's see how you do here.
But I can't read.
1 hour and 36 minutes.
Oh, dang.
I'm not even lying.
Oh, dang.
Actually what it says.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm good at estimating things.
Wow.
Not everything, but sometimes I'm good at estimating things.
That is impressive.
All right. Man, I feel good about it. This is a good way to start a trip to Unpub.
Well, especially if we're going to gamble and bet. You'd feel really good about that.
I don't have a gambling or betting game with me.
No.
Here's the thing. How many different games did you bring with you?
Me?
Yeah.
I brought Minecart Madness. I brought Hip City, and I think I also have Shipwreck Shore. I don't intend to play it. Okay. I have my Lumberjack game. I don't intend to play it.
Lumberjack.
Yeah. I think that's all I have.
Okay, you didn't bring Ramblers.
Oh, I have Ramblers. Yeah, okay, I always have Ramblers.
So that's five games you brought with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're really only going to focus on one of them for the most part.
One and a half. Yeah, I need to get some plays at Hip City. In,
okay.
So. All
right. I only brought Scrappers. Nothing else.
Wow. So.
Yeah.
So let's hope that in your first like three play tests, Scrappers isn't destroyed.
Yes.
And you're like, this sucks.
Yes.
And then you don't ever want to play it again because you're going to be playing it for a long time.
Well, then I'll just give up on my table and you can use it if you want.
Sweet. I'll give you one of my games. You can just demo that and get some opinions out.
If I have that kind of moment that I had with, whatchamacallit?
Your airship game.
Yeah.
My gosh, what was the name of it?
Smithereens.
Smithereens.
If I have a moment like that, I will be pretty sad.
Where you played it with four players and were like, and we're done here.
Yeah, except Scrappers now I've played with four people, I think, four times.
Yeah, so and it's fun with four people.
Feel a lot better about it.
I actually like it better with more people.
I do too.
Because the movement is so much more interactive and interesting.
Yeah. And I thought about putting in a five-player option with this version, but I mean, I'm pretty confident that would work fine, and I don't feel like I need to test that.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that, if a publisher picked it up, would be an excellent Kickstarter bonus.
Right.
Five-player expansion, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kickstarter, they love five-player games.
They sure do. They like four-player games with a fifth-player expansion.
Yeah.
That's what they like.
It's true. Yeah. Hey, Minecart Madness publishers, it's a five-player game, but I would gladly pretend it's only a four-player game if you want to put in a fifth-player thing for Kickstarter.
Right.
As long as you set it so I know we'll get it, because it is fun with five players, so.
Right.
I mean, presumably, I've never played it with five players, but it's really fun with four, so I don't know why it wouldn't be fun with five.
Yeah, I want to play it with five sometime. Hopefully we can do that this weekend.
Yeah, I'm hoping to, yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to get a five-player game in. I'm just hoping I'll be able to be in on one of those.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll play it after hours, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be super exciting to do that. We've got some questions and stuff. Let's just go to those for now.
Excellent.
Well, we got a tweet from Josh Mills. Jerk is already at Unpub.
He went to a ball game yesterday.
Yeah, he was eating. He ate yesterday. Him and Pinchback both had a hot dog covered in mac and cheese and crab. And I think that sounds awesome, and you did not think that sounded awesome.
That sounds disgusting.
So Josh Mills says, what compels you to revisit an old design? New idea, new mechanic, new inspiration. I think what he's saying is, what compels you? Is it a new idea, a new mechanic, or a new inspiration? That's a good question.
That's a good question. In my case, usually it's new inspiration.
Okay.
Saloon Tycoon is a good example. That, you know, that tower idea that I started with, mechanically, that core idea of stacking tiles and cubes was also in that tower game. But the new inspiration was a different way to build. You know, instead of building one tall tower, what if you can spread out?
Right.
You know, and you don't have to just add on top. You can also add on the side. So that was a new inspiration. I mean, that was kind of a modification to the main mechanic. But, yeah, I might say new perspective.
Oh, that's a good way to say it.
Caused that, or led to that inspiration to come back to it. What about you?
I would say not inspiration, but desperation is what usually leads me back to an old game. Because I am like, I don't know what to work on. I got nothing. And then I'm like, hey, I haven't tried to make a game called Here Be Dragons in a while. And then I do that, and then that doesn't work. And then I start legitimately looking at other old designs and look for new inspiration. And then it usually ends up being new inspiration. But sometimes it will be the form of a new mechanic or a new idea. And I know we've done that with each other before, where we've been like, hey, remember that one game you were working on? Mm-hmm. What if you did this with it? And it's like, oh, hey, that's actually really smart. Yeah. That would be cool to do.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. And I think there's always a certain comfort in going back to an old game. But there's also a certain amount of challenge with it. Like, because you've got these kind of white whale games that you really want to make.
Yeah.
And you're not making them work, and you don't know why, so you kind of force yourself to keep going back to it, like, darn it, I'm gonna make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna make this work, you know? There's that. It's good times.
The best of times.
The best of times.
I want to sing that Styx song now.
I don't.
I do.
I'm looking here at our messages, and I realized that we got a message days ago, well, it was like a week ago, from Douglas, who said, Unpub, it says, how have you guys been? It's been a while, and I'm behind quite a few episodes. You can blame audible.com, his subscription to that. He said, sorry, but the name of the wind trumped us for a bit. And I don't know what the name of the wind is, but cool. But I've run out of credits, so I'm catching up on past episodes. I'm on 187 now, but usually get in a three-day three a day on my drive, so I'll be back real soon, in real time.
And the name of the wind, the name of the wind is it's a fantasy novel. I want to say it's Patrick Rothfuss.
Okay, sure.
It's either Rothfuss or Brandon Sanderson. I'm not sure which, but I think it's Patrick Rothfuss. I have not read it, but Christine's a big fan.
Cool.
Anyway, go on.
He said, at any rate, I'm going to go to Unpub 6, and it'd be great to see you guys and have a beer.
Yeah.
Yes, and totally. I realized I never responded to the email, so when we're done with this episode, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to know if we're having after hours activities. He thanks us in advance for inviting him, and then he said, hey, actually, I'll bring the beer, but can I please come now? He has two games he's going to be showing off. Gattuca. It's like Gattaca, but with a U. Gatuca. Okay. A dice-based DNA-themed combat game, and this is only a test. A pre-apocalypse game of civil defense set in the late 1950s. That is a stellar theme and that's a great, fantastic name, dude.
Yeah, that's a really good...
See you guys there, Doug.
I like that. All right, Doug.
Doug.
We'll see you in a few hours, I hope. You'll be hearing this later, but...
Yes.
I hope... Hey, Doug, it was great to meet you, and we had a blast, didn't we? Thanks for the beer. Sorry, I puked everywhere. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try not to do that.
You should try not to do that.
Jason's looking through his phone.
I am sending a message to Doug because Doug's important, and then, I feel bad for...
Then I'm going to keep on talking while you do that. Right now, we're driving down the road. It's a beautiful sky. It's a little overcast, but to my left, it's a nice bright blue sky with some white puffy clouds. We've been very lucky, actually, with the weather here. And the traffic also has thinned out a bit. There's your documentary road trip update.
Yeah, okay. Can you stop talking now? I've got other emails to go through.
Please do.
This is from our buddy Nate.
Nate. Hi, Nate.
Hey, guys. Long overdue. But I had some thoughts on Jason's pitch of Turtles All the Way Down.
All the Way Down.
Mostly, Jason, I think you let the whiskey get to you. The original idea was simple, straightforward, and effective. Remember, you should never add complexity for the sake of complexity. So here's how the game would go, as I imagine from your pitch.
Okay.
The card has a question and three answers, two lies and a truth, which should be the tagline for the game. So Turtles All the Way Down, two lies and a truth. Each debater is assigned one of the answers. The card represents the third choice. The debaters have 1 minute, or whatever, to present their argument. The audience votes which they think is true. They get a point if correct. Each debater gets a point for each audience member that voted for them. I don't think it would be difficult to come up with facts that are obscure enough that people aren't likely to know them offhand. Mm. Example, in what decade was Czechoslovakia founded? The 1910s, 1920s, or 1930s? Rob, do you know the answer?
Actually, I know this very well. It was in the 1930s. And the reason for that is that my grandparents are from Czechoslovakia, and they used to tell me stories about growing up there.
Well, actually, it's funny that you should say that, because it was actually the 1920s, and the reason I know that is because I majored in history for a while before changing my major.
Oh.
And we talked a lot about Czechoslovakia.
Uh-huh.
So, most of that, you know, European stuff, I was very into it. I did a lot of research on it. I was considering a PhD program for that. So, yeah. Yep, so that's interesting, eh?
That's fascinating, but completely wrong.
Yeah, it's actually the 1910s. So.
Okay.
So, see, that game could be fun.
That could be fun.
Maybe someone would know that, but they aren't likely to come up with it with every fact you know. So, yeah, so some of the facts you know, and that's okay.
Uh-huh. But you don't want to tell everybody else that you know for a fact, because then they're going to get points along with you.
Right.
And you want to get more points than that.
Right. So this is the next part that's really good.
Okay.
If you wanted to add something, I'd suggest allowing the audience to ask the debaters questions. One per audience member before voting, with each debater having 15 seconds to respond. That might add a bit of an element of trying to trip up the debaters. That is freaking phenomenal.
That's a good idea.
Yes, Nate. One design thought. Put the third answer, the card option, on the back of the card so that people can read that and don't have to be reminded of what the other option is. So basically, two on the front, one on the back. So we look at the card, and then we lay it down facing the audience, and they can see the third option, right, that no one's going to defend.
So that third option might be right or might be wrong.
Right.
So it's just kind of randomly chosen which one it is. Oh, yeah. So is it mine, is it Jason's, or is it this one here on the table?
Right.
Got it.
And heck, you then could put the real answer on the card. Oh, no, you couldn't. Yeah, you could. You could have the real answer be on the card on the side that the two debaters are seeing, because it doesn't matter if they know.
Yeah.
In fact, it's funnier if they know, like, option C is the answer. We're both about to lie now.
Right.
I'm
not sure how you choose A, B, or C.
You don't. Like, so, say that it's rotating around. There's five people at the table, right? Uh-huh. So this turn, the debaters are Rob and Jason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Nate is sitting next to me, right? So,
okay.
So in the turn before, Christine, your wife, is on the other side. Okay. So you and Christine are the debaters, right?
Okay.
And then it would slide to the next two. So you would still be a debater, and then I would too.
So first turn, Christine would be A and I'd be B. Second turn, I'd be A and you'd be B.
Yep.
Third turn, you'd be A and Nate would be B.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would be kind of fun, because then you get twice in a row.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, and then you just spin around in circles. Says, anyway, that's my two cents. If I can help write the facts, I would do that if I could get a co-designership, or at least a developer credit. Dude, if you can help write questions, absolutely. Happy 200 episodes, and truly congratulations on Saloon Tycoon. Rob, it was simply amazing to watch that and participate in it. Yeah, Nate.
Cool. Thanks, Nate. Awesome.
All right. We are going here to... I want to give a shout out to Peter Haywood.
Hey, Peter.
Peter is running a Kickstarter right now, and I don't know if it's still going. It only launched 8 days ago, so that was a few days ago.
Okay.
It's probably still going, so you should check it out. It is called Scuttle, and it's a pirate card game for all ages. I actually wanted to check it out, but I keep forgetting. Anyways, this is folks, is how you get a shout out on our show.
Uh-huh.
This is how his email message was titled. I am an Australian with a blue beard, and I like your podcast. And I was like, I am intrigued. Yeah. I shall read on. And he has a gaming company called Jelly Bean Games, and they're doing this, and he's gotten a lot of good feedback. He's also doing a podcast as well, called Being Honest with My Ex. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he'd love to come on the show sometime and chat with us. We'll see if we could set something like that up, Peter. Yeah, all right. So,
cool.
Anyways, go and check out Scuttle on Kickstarter or scuttlethegame.com. And yeah, so folks who are looking for shout-outs, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
All right, and now we have a voicemail from someone who's never left a voicemail before. Ooh. is according to what Google Voice is telling me, so it could be wrong.
All right, you have to hold that speaker right up to the...
Yeah, I will.
So we'll do our best, because we're not going to really be able to edit this too much before we post the episode, so...
So yeah, we're going to hope for the best here.
Yeah.
Listener, first time caller. I really enjoyed the 200th episode. That mentioned it's terrific, a really fun activity. I thought it would be great if there were a geek list where each of those pitches would be described, and we could all come in and maybe offer our own pitch on the different themes and components that you guys had. I have one that I want to share with y'all. How it all works, but I thought it was a pretty cool idea, and so I shot it over to Matt Lewis, and he agreed, so maybe we're going to work on that version of Clockwork. Thanks for doing the show, thanks for that 200th episode, it was spectacular, and I'll see you all on top.
Alright, thank you, sir. Hopefully you guys can hear that. We'll give that a check. We could always try and insert that with the file, so yeah. We'll see if that might work.
I couldn't hear any of
it. So, what I heard was... he said, congratulations on episode 200.
Thank you.
And he also said that that Clockwork game that you pitched,
uh-huh.
He thought that would be cool if it had different information on it. The builders heard that. I did not hear that. But I will forward this along to Rob so that he can also listen to it.
Okay.
Let me see here.
Maybe we can replay that in a future episode so I can hear it better and we can respond.
Yes. So he would also like to see a geek list with all those pitches. If somebody wants to make a geek list, that's awesome. But to make a geek list, I would have to go on Board Game Geek and do that. And
you hate Board Game Geek.
I don't hate Board Game Geek, so yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I don't hate the site. It's good for what it does. It's just it's not very intuitive or usable in general, in my opinion.
I also find it somewhat impenetrable.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Take that, Board Game Geek.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah. So I'm sure if I just sat down and messed with it for a little while, I'd figure it out.
Probably.
You know, I'm just lazy.
Probably, yes.
I'm just lazy.
That is a good thing to categorize us as. And that is lazy. So, yeah.
What else you got?
What else do we got? Well... we're hoping at Unpub that one of the other hopes and expectations at Unpub we have is that we will be able to do another fun episode where we talk to other designers and people attending the con,
mm-hmm.
and see what you know what they're doing and how they are enjoying the convention. So our plan is to do that. I really hope that works out because that was fun last time. We did that, and it was super-duper fun.
Yeah.
And I would love to see us to do that again.
Yeah, when we did that at Grand Con last year, that went really well. We had a ton of fun with that, so... Hopefully we can do like a full sit-down episode with some people.
Yes.
Like we did there.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So if we can do that, what you'll get to hear is we're going to do this episode. That's releasing this Sunday. And then after that, the plan is to do that episode. And then we will do a recap episode on the way home where we should have lots to talk about with all of our stuff. So any recap stuff we have, we will save until that episode we record on the way home.
Yep.
Because we're going to need something to keep us awake on that drive. So
yeah.
You builders can help do that. It'll be fantastic.
Uh-huh.
So, yes. What else should we talk about on this show? We still have some time to fill, so we should probably talk some more
on
this
show. Should we pitch a
game? Sure, let's pitch a game. Let's pitch a game.
Okay, what's the theme of this game?
The name of this game is Turnpike.
Turnpike, that's a good name for a game, actually. that's pretty good. So Turnpike, this is a game. I want this game to have worker placement in it.
Okay.
Okay. Worker placement. I think the players, I think you're trying to maintain the turnpike. And sometimes you have to dispatch cops to deal with speeders. Sometimes you have to send out maintenance crews. Sometimes you have to, maintenance crews could be like cleanup, or it could be simply, tearing up or repaving the road. There's tree trimming. Let's see what else.
So this is a game that could be played over multiple years in a game time, right? Like maybe every season is a turn.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're always preparing for the next season in your turn.
Sure. That's cool.
So in construction would be harder in certain seasons,
uh-huh.
assuming it's a place with wintry weather, which I think it should be because that makes the game harder.
Right.
So
So then in the winter there'd be like snow removal and salting and all that good stuff. Boy, sounds like an exciting theme.
My original thought was that it was, just a different idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
What if you were managing a trucking company that was going through this turnpike, right?
Yeah.
But the catch is the guy who owns the trucking company doesn't know what he's doing, right?
Mm.
So he's like, let's say this: you're the manager. And the boss has retired, and his son has suddenly inherited the business.
Ooh, yeah.
And the son doesn't know anything about trucking at all.
Uh-huh.
So he is just sending trucks willy-nilly with whatever he wants, not documented, through this turnpike. Now, this turnpike happens to have tunnels that go through mountains. And that is something that happened to us today earlier when we drove through a tunnel going through a mountain.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed was certain things are not allowed to be transported through those tunnels.
Ooh.
Explosive things, flammable. So, like, big tankers of gas cannot go through there
uh-huh.
because, but presumably, if it crashed, it could cause an explosion that would kill everyone in the tunnel.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
So what if the trucks are being sent out, like, they say to the guys, basically saying to the truckers, go ahead, get out there, go deliver this to this.
Uh-huh.
So your job is to not only figure out what you're playing, not through deduction or anything, but just through, like, playing cards and stuff, what you're delivering, what the route he set them on is, because I would just say every car gets a different route, right? So first car, like, the first truck gets route A, next route B, C, D, E, F, G, back to A again,
mm.
you know, so every truck is taking a different route. Or maybe it's random. Maybe you, whenever you play a truck card down, like, on each turn a new one comes out, the route is different, so that the deck could just be mixed up with that. That might be cool, too. So maybe the truck is actually taking the correct route to the right place, and you could play cards to make that happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you got, maybe all the players are rival district managers who are vying to keep the company, you know, everybody wants to keep the company running smoothly and safely, but, you know, you're all trying to get that promotion so that you could be his right-hand man. And make the company, you know, profitable again.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the, you know, this terrible dude is running it.
Yeah.
So that's my thought on it.
Okay.
That could be fun.
I think maybe you. I think each player is running their own trucking company. I think I like that a little better.
Okay.
But I like you're into this the way you're getting into this. So And I think that there are maybe four routes through the mountains, each with their own challenge. So there are things like tunnels. There's a grade, you know, a steep grade that has to be dealt with. So trucks over a certain weight can't handle it.
Yep. Maybe there's a bridge.
Maybe there's a bridge. And then there could also just be simply one route that's just super long.
Right. You know? But it's, like, safe, but it's long.
Right.
Goes all the way around.
Yeah. And so what you have to do is you just get randomly assigned a cargo and a destination, and you need to try and get it to your destination. And you can take any truck and any cargo on any route, but certain cargoes are not allowed on certain routes, and so you risk getting pulled over by the cops and losing your cargo and losing a bunch of money on that run.
Yeah. So you're almost like smugglers in a really boring setting.
Yeah.
Another route could be like there's a big lake, like in a mountain pass, and like there's a what's the word I'm looking for? Put your car on it, ferry that the truck can take, right? So that's a different route.
Sure.
So you've got these very different, distinct routes that offer different advantages. Like maybe that is the fastest route, but it costs the most. Because the ferry tolls
are so expensive,
right?
And
so
you have to pay extra based on the weight of your truck,
right?
And what your cargo is,
right?
Yeah, but you get there real quick.
But maybe it guarantees you won't get caught because the ferry driver, you're basically paying him to help you. You know,
yeah, he is.
Ferry driver don't care,
right? And then depending on when you actually deliver the thing, the earlier, the fewer turns it takes you to deliver the cargo, the more money you make off of that.
Yes.
Yes.
In fact, what you could... No, that's stupid. Never
fact,
mind.
You probably have to buy cargo in order, you know... you buy cargo cards, you know, but you don't know what it is until you purchase it, what that cargo is. But you, based on how much you spend for it, that means, you know, you get a real expensive cargo, it's more likely to be something that has a really high return.
Right.
But that way, that kind of controls for the thing where if you fail, you're going to lose money no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that actually doesn't sound so bad.
No, not bad at all.
Turnpike.
So that would be like four different turnpikes, technically.
Turnpikes. Solved. Problem solved.
There it is. In hindsight, maybe there's a better name for that, but that's good. That's not a bad idea.
How about Great Mountain Hauling Company?
Yeah,
I like that. That doesn't sound like anything else I've ever played.
No, that's original and unique.
Yeah, maybe they could have meeple shaped like trucks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a good idea.
Yeah.
Can you actually like pick up cubes? Potentially?
Yeah. Why not? Just use cubes, pick up cubes, and move them around?
To identify it as cargo?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Gosh, if you could just turn this into a game where you just lay out cards to make the map different every time.
Yep, that's genius.
Oh, I think we're onto something here.
And then use cheeky names for the cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely onto something.
Yeah, that is... I feel like somebody would like to play that game.
All right, we should... you know who's good at giving advice?
Who's that?
Jason Katarski.
We should ask him about that.
We should.
You know? Great Mountain Hauling Company.
Yeah.
I love
Mighty
it.
Mountain Hauling Company.
Mighty Mountain Hauling Company. That is good. That's good.
Dude.
Yes.
Yes.
I love it.
This is a winning idea.
It's a winning idea. And it's totally unique. It's never been done before. Mm-hmm. So that's how we know it will work.
I think the market is ripe for it.
Ripe. Ripe.
Yeah. All right. I think we should probably call it here because we're getting closer to Baltimore.
We need to pay attention.
We need to start paying more attention.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, thanks everybody. Like we always say, for listening. If we're about to see you at Unpub, or if we just saw you at Unpub, thanks so much. That was a good time. I'm assuming it will be a good time. It was last year. If you weren't able to make it Unpub, just try again next year, guys, because...
Yes. If you're just the game player on Pub, you should come if you can, because it's fun. But if you are a designer...
It's a must
attend.
You need
to be there. You will not find a better event for working with other designers, getting feedback, and also it's becoming a great place to talk to publishers, so...
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So thanks for listening. If you want to talk to us, you can Twitter us at podcastbtg, at JA Slingerland, at poorly_design. www.buildinggamepodcast.com, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, where all great podcasts are found, and 770-TEL-BTG, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Good day.
See ya.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast.